blue baby. Please see Jennifer after Sunday school. Thank you. That will be Kelly and Mark for her baby.
Well, I'm not an upfront person, but anyway, I'm just so thankful to be able to accompany Ruthie. Just to introduce her and go to my heart. And, I think of the verse in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. If one falls, the other picks them up. And that's what Ruthie's done in my life. And just want to say that she, many of you know that she worked alongside her husband in Colombia as missionaries. And they served there for several years. And then when they came back home, she was alongside him once again as an elder's wife. And that's when I met Ruth. And when they came back, and we became walking buddies. And it didn't take long for me to realize that as we walked, it was more than a physical exercise. I learned to be quiet because I was taught and listen. And I gained much. And I have a favorite story for Ruth. It was about one time that she and to give you a little bit insight into who Ruth is. She and another missionary, when they were in Colombia, they went on a mule for 7 hours and rode up a mountain to visit two other single missionary ladies that needed encouragement. And that helped me to see things from a different perspective and know what was really important. And as we chatted that, I learned what was really important, and that's trusting in the Lord in all things. So with that, I would like to just introduce my friend with
I was kind of hoping you'd all be a little bit closer. I'm used to sitting around a table with a whole bunch of women and teaching from that point of view, as opposed to sitting up in front of you all, and I'm not sure I didn't get up on the chair. Larry says, can you get on that chair? I said, well, I think I should. Well, I'm here, so if I fall off, we're in big trouble. It's been a real special time to be here for me to celebrate. This isn't starting well, lady. To help celebrate Cheryl's birthday. Whoa. First and last time invited to Blaisdell, right? Oh, my goodness, I can't find my notes either. What will we talk about today? It's not there. I know I have them. I couldn't find them last night either. But I know I have them. Oh, I know they're in Psalms. Never mind. There they are. Let's open in prayer, shall we? Father, we're so grateful that you remembered us. Fallen people without hope. But you sent your Son because you loved us. And Father, today as we talk about remembering, I pray that you would help each one of us to take something away from our talk today. Something that you will use in our lives to strengthen our faith, to increase our love for you, to increase our love for others, and our commitment to bringing glory to your name. So I just thank you for your presence with us. I thank you, Lord, for each one of the ladies who's here. We pray that you would make this a time of blessing for each one of us. Just want to thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody here have trouble with their memory? That's a soft spot in our hearts. We all struggle with memory. I struggle with memory. I'll tell you a story on myself for this last week. I work in a billing office still, and for a medical practice that my son-in-law has, which is why I'm probably still employed. And every month we have a meeting of all the people who work in billing so that we're all kind of on the same page. You know, if you work in an office, you know that's kind of important. Everybody knows what's going on with everybody else. So it always was the first Monday of every month, which isn't hard to remember, but they changed it to the first Tuesday. Now, I don't know about you, but Tuesdays are not a priority for me. Mondays tend to be, because it's the beginning of the week. You can put a peg on that. You remember it, right? Tuesdays, not so much. So, of course, this was the second month that it was going to be on a Tuesday. Now, in my defense, my email was down the week before when I was at work, so I didn't get the memo. Second in my defense was I was teaching the Bible study that morning at our assembly, and so I wasn't on my email that morning, and someone had sent me it. I mean, I had all kinds of remembrances. I just hadn't seen any of them. And so finished teaching Bible study, took a friend, went out to lunch, had a blast, and then I got a phone call. Whoops. I forgot something, and it was important to remember. Fortunately, somebody took notes and gave me the notes. Bless their hearts. So why do we forget things? Okay, this is not a teaching, I speak, you listen. This is, I ask a question, you answer. Okay, everybody got that? Why do we forget things? Too much going on. Oh, very good. Very good. What else? Thank you. That's another big one, isn't it? We tend to not remember as well the older we get. Somebody said it's sort of like your hard disk on your computer. Somebody said it's like everything you put on your disk is like sections of a pie. No, believe me, I am not computer tech savvy at all. I have to use one, but that's as far as we get. I don't understand a thing about them. This is how he explained it. You put things on, and they're in sectors, like a pie. So then things start to get full, right? And you only have a little place between sectors as you fill up your hard drive. Well, I don't think you do that anymore, but back when I was talking about this, we did. And he said, so now you go to add something in, and there's really not enough room, and you haven't done what's called defragging. Anyhow, so you don't have enough room, so this little sector goes on top, but it deletes part of it, what it's covering over here, and it deletes the other part over here. Now, I don't understand why it would do that, but it evidently used to happen, at least on the computer before the one I have now. So I've decided that that's what's happening in my brain. Every time I learn something new, I delete something else. So as you get older, you just keep learning, but at the same time, you're sort of deleting things that you haven't used for a while. So that's one thing. We're too busy. We're getting older. What else? Ah, that's a big one, isn't it? That's a big one. And you know what? I'm convicted about this when I go to meet somebody and I'm introduced to them and somebody gives me their name or they give me their name. Are you as bad with names as I am? Oh. Now, Cheryl's amazing with names. I'm not, but that's why she was my best friend. She could remember people's names for me. I love that. Anyhow, yeah, lack of priority. We haven't placed enough importance on the person that we've just met to remember their name. Now, that's convicting. It's easy to say, well, I'm not good with names. And most of us will say that. I'm not good with names. But we're not good with names because we haven't put a priority on that person to remember their name. Their name's important to them. And if we meet them, it should be important to us. Okay, what else? Good. Sometimes we just don't want to think about it, so we just sort of put it aside, and then it gets lost in the shuffle, and we don't do it, right? Good. Anything else? Anybody come up with anything else? Did we cover them all? Could be. I have what's called a planner on my desk at home. This is going to keep falling off, so I'm sorry. It probably will. If it's not written down, it doesn't happen. If somebody just tells me something, if I don't put it on the planner, it doesn't exist, actually. It goes on without me if it's not on the planner. So that's why we forget. But God really wants us to remember. Can you come up with some verses for me about things that God has told us we should remember? Oh, very good. There's a good one. Yeah. Okay. Okay, very good. That's a good reason to remember, isn't it? So we keep things decent and in order. What else? Oh, very good. That's one of the first commandments, isn't it? Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. How about the one in Ecclesiastes? Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Yeah. And then we often think about that one, but later on in that same chapter it says, don't forget God. Remember Him before the silver cord's broken. And that's covering both ends of our lives, isn't it? He wants us to know Him and remember Him and have a prominent part in our lives and our thinking when we're young, so that when we get to be older, we still remember. And sometimes we find out kids start out well, but they don't end up so well. Okay, you think of anything else? Ah, excellent. We did that this morning, didn't we? If you were here for the Lord's Supper earlier, we were following what Jesus asked us to specifically remember. I don't know about you, but sometimes I give more importance to the words that Jesus himself said to us, the requests that he made to us. Maybe that's not right. Maybe it's all, you know, we should have equal weight to everything in Scripture. But it feels to me that when Jesus said it, it was very personal. And we can find that in Luke 22, verse 19. Paul reiterates that again in 1 Corinthians 11 for us. I'm reminded when we have the Lord's Supper. A friend traveled to the Mideast. I believe it was in Israel. And while he was there, one of his family members passed away, which I think was the reason why he was there. And they had a memorial service for him. And the interesting thing was that they sat around, the whole family, sat around in a circle. And they had a loaf of bread. And I don't know whether it was unleavened bread or regular bread. Never got that detail, but it was some form of bread. And they passed it from hand to hand, kind of like we do here. But as each person took a piece of this bread, they had a memory of the person that had just died. And they talked about that person and what they remembered, the good things that they remembered about that person. And I thought, wow, isn't that a beautiful picture? That must have been the custom when Jesus gave the bread to his disciples and said, pass this around, everybody take some, because this is going to be something you're going to do in memory of me. I hope that helps you think about what we should be doing, because oftentimes, as wives and mothers and grandmothers, we sit here in the Lord's Supper and our minds are on whether the roast is done, whether the kids are tearing up the nursery, what we're going to do for the afternoon, or the bill's going to win. I don't know about you, but that's where my mind often is. And it helped me to hear about this ceremony in the Middle East of taking a piece of bread and remembering a specific memory that was precious to them and sharing it. Now, I know we as women don't get to do that out loud, but we certainly should be doing that in our hearts and telling the Lord how grateful we are for the things that He has done for us. The fact that we can even be here. What happens when we forget? Sometimes there are consequences, aren't there? Pardon?
We miss out.
We miss out. We do. I missed out on the billing meeting. Sometimes we miss out on what could be a nice friendship because we didn't care enough to remember someone's name. Sometimes we miss out on events that we just perhaps really didn't want to go to, but if we would have gone, we'd have had a blessing or been a blessing to somebody else. It's not always about us and what we're going to get out of it, is it? What else?
Hurt feelings.
Pardon?
Hurt feelings.
Huh? That's good. That's good. Do you like to have somebody remember your birthday? Do you like to do a good deed for somebody and have them remember it? Yeah, we do, don't we? Yeah. And it's a challenge sometimes to have a grateful heart. But that's the result of remembering, is having a grateful heart. Sometimes when we forget what the Lord has done for us, we become grumblers. Do you remember Israel? They had been 430 years to the day when God sprung them out of Egypt by miraculous signs. And everybody had to be totally aware of what was going on. I mean, this was amazing how God freed them from the grip of slavery, horrific slavery. And He opened up the Red Sea for them, and they walked across on dry ground. 3 days later, what happened?
They grumbled.
They had forgotten within 3 days the power of God and how He had released. There's a couple million people. How many people are there in the city of Buffalo? Pardon? Probably with the outlying areas, we're up in the millions, I would think. If we are in Rochester, you're bigger than we are. As far as if you put all the towns and Orchard Park and all together, you probably have that many people. If you can imagine the power of a God that takes that many people out of slavery and sends them away rich, because the Egyptians, God put it on their heart to give them all their gold and silver. These are poor people. These people had nothing. And the Egyptians said, "We'll give you everything you have. Just get out. Go, go, go. Get away. Get away. We don't like what your God is doing to us. Leave." And 3 days later, after all of this, they said, "Well, we don't have water. We'd rather die over there." What? How quickly we forget the goodness of God. How quickly they forgot what God had done for them. And the immediate result is they grumbled. And they grumbled. And they grumbled. The 40 years of grumbling. God was so sick of them. They all died. None of those initial grumblers went into the land. And that's a penalty for forgetting, isn't it? What else do we get when we forget what God does for us? Good. And that causes us anxiety and fear, doesn't it? Yeah. Emptiness. Good. Bitterness. Excellent. Very good. Boy, you guys are great. Can I take you to my Tuesday morning study? And discontentment. Very good. Yeah. And yet God has supplied all things liberally for us to enjoy, has he not? Some of us enjoy it a little more than others, and more than we should. But he has supplied our needs according to his riches, not ours. Through nothing that we have merited. We haven't done this on our own. Nothing that we have is because we merit it, or we have earned it, or we deserve it. But he has given it to us freely. But then things get tough. And we forget that he did that. And if he can do that, why can't he do this? And he can. Not always on our timetable. And not always as we had hoped. But always according to his will and for our good. Always. The other thing that often happens when we forget is that our children don't know. I just want to turn to a couple of passages. Over in Joshua. If you have your, you don't, actually you don't have to turn, because that, let me do the turning and you can do the listening. How'll that be? The setting for this is the children of Israel have now come through the 40 years of wandering in the desert, and God has said, okay, I'm going to have you cross the Jordan, and you're going to go in and take the land. And so the Ark of the Covenant is going to go with them, before them, with the priests, and as soon as the priest's feet touched the Jordan River, and it says the banks overflowed in that time. It was not dried up because of a drought. It was overflowing its banks. It was a full river. As soon as the priests put their feet in the river, 30 miles up the river, it went up like a wall and stopped. And the priests walked into the middle of the river, and the people crossed over on dry land. Now, this is the second time that's happened. And this is what he says. The Lord says to Joshua, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you are going to lodge tonight. So here are 12 men, and it says each one of them takes up a stone on his shoulder in verse 5, and it says, let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask you later, what do these stones mean? Hey, Dad, what's that heap of stones? This is what you're going to say to them. Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and so these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. This is what happened. This is what I did for you. I want you to remember, but because you guys have awful short memories, I'm going to take this heap of stones. You're each going to carry one over. It involves a little work on your part. So at least those 12 men are going to know this was a bit of work, because I'm sure these were not stones. These were stones. And they put them for a memorial on the other side where they were going to camp. And he said, now I want you to remember this. Because your sons are going to come by here and say, I wonder what that heap of stones is, Dad. And you're going to tell them what I did for you. And he says, this is going to be a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. And that really indicates that God wants this story to be told here, and then that one tells their children, and that one tells their children. You know how long it was in Israel after the Israelites went in before they totally forgot their God? It wasn't long. It wasn't long. And they had not remembered what God had done for them. How about the manna? They hated the manna, didn't they? You know, I can't fault them too much. Probably if I ate the same thing for 40 years every day, I probably wouldn't be too happy either. But in all that time, nobody got sick because of food. Nobody was hungry because of lack of food. Nobody was malnourished. It was the perfect food. And so they grumbled.
We want meat.
God gave them meat, didn't he? To their detriment. But on the day that it was finished, God said, I want you to take a little dish and I want you to put some manna in it and I want you to put it in the ark. Because I want you to always remember my provision for you. What else was in the ark? Aaron's rod that budded and what else? And the Ten Commandments, the stone tables. The ark was always the symbol of God's presence with them, but it was a moving memorial. It was a moving memory jogger, if you will. What did the tablets stand for? The law. God's standard of holiness, right? Remember, this is God's standard. Now, we all know that we're not going to be able to keep it. God knew we couldn't keep it. But he had to give us the standard so that we would understand there is a measuring rod here. And this is where it is. This is what I would want for you to do. I know you can't. You're human. You're sinful. You can't keep it. But here it is. This is the standard of God's holiness. Don't forget. What was the manna a sign of? His provision. I have provided for you for 40 years. Your shoes didn't wear out. Your clothes didn't wear out. The women probably hated that. We don't want to wear the same clothes for 40 years. But their shoes didn't wear out. God's absolute perfect provision. Does he do that for us now? Yeah, he does. And when things are tough, and I look at a group of ladies like you all, and I know that there are times when it's tough, and you say, I don't know if there's enough. Sometimes our idea of enough is not God's idea of enough, is it? There's enough. There's enough. God's provision. And he wanted them to remember that. What was the third thing that was in there, Loretta?
Aaron's budding rod.
Aaron's budding rod. What does that speak of?
His power.
Beautiful. Do we have a powerful God? Oh, amen. Is he more powerful than the government around us? Oh, thank you. Yes. Is he more powerful than Satan? Oh, amen. Is he more powerful than our horrible attempts to try to run our own lives? Amen. We have a powerful God. So he gave the children of Israel the ark so they'd remember, and they didn't. But he wants us to remember. He does everything in his power to help us remember, because if he can do that, he can do this. There's no circumstance in the life of a child of God that is out of the power of God, that is out of his ability to handle it. Some of us are getting older, and it's a temptation to say, what's going to become of me? What's going to happen if? What's going to happen if I lose my husband? Some of us already have. If you've lost your husband, have you discovered God's goodness as a husband? I see an absolutely up here. I see some heads shaking, yes. I've lost my husband. And I know I had one of the best ones in the world. Sorry for some of you who thought you did. Amazing man. Human, but amazing. But God is better. Unfortunately, he doesn't drive places. I have to do that. On my own. My husband loved to drive. I never had to drive anywhere. Now I have to drive everywhere. But you know, there came a time in our married life, after 40 years of a really great marriage and a great partnership, and my husband had Alzheimer's, and he forgot me. He didn't know who I was anymore. My God never forgets me. And my God will never forget you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loved you so much that he would send his only son and sacrifice it. Anybody here lost a child? I have. 37 years old. Had a seizure in the night and died. Wasn't even sick. God loved us so much that he gave his only son for us. And if he would do that, which is a limitless love, we mustn't forget him and what he's done for us. We must not forget him. What kind of tools does he give us to help? Pardon?
The Bible.
The Bible. Good. Good.
Spirit.
His Holy Spirit. You know, I was reading, I want to read this one for you, because how many hundreds of times have I read this verse? It's found in John 14. And it's these are chapters that we love. You know, the verse previous to this, or after this actually, says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be fearful. Do not be fearful. He has given us his peace. The verse just before that is the one that hit me like a ton of bricks as I was reading and trying to prepare for this little chat we're having. And he's talking about sending us his Holy Spirit. And it says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And don't we love that? Because we depend on him to help us when we're reading scripture, right? When we're reading. And this is the part that I have read over and gone right over the top of all these years. And bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Bring to your remembrance. He's given us a tool. He's given us the Holy Spirit. We need to put the scripture in here, and then he's going to bring it to mind when we need it. That's the tool. Are you memorizing? I got to tell you, the older I get, the harder it gets. I can remember it for a whole day. Tomorrow, not so much. The third day, it's gone completely. I tried to take a course in Greek. Oh, glory. That was a waste of time. The first week I did great. The second week I could still remember the first week. The third week I could remember the second week. Well, you get the picture. I didn't get too far. 6 weeks in, I said, Uncle, I'm done. But he's given us the Holy Spirit so that he will prompt us to remember the scripture that we have memorized. And if you're not memorizing and you're younger than I am, you should be memorized. Because then the Holy Spirit has tools to help you. He's got something to work with. My older brother passed away in June. And up until 6 months ago, he didn't want to talk about the Lord at all. Now, he was raised, as I was, in a Christian home with godly parents. And we were memorizing scripture left and right as kids. Right? So now, he was a fair bit older than I am. He was 87 years old. And he knew he didn't have a lot of time left. And for the first time in our history together, he wanted to talk about the Lord. So every day that I was there, he brought it up. Which is precious. And I said to him one day, John, do you remember John 3:16? Which would have been one of the first verses that he had learned, right? Now, he got married at 19. He married an atheist. He was in the Navy before that, so I assume he didn't have much to do with anything scriptural or Christian. So he probably hadn't heard or thought of this verse in 60-some years. He sat there and he looked at me for a minute and he quoted it, word perfect, out of King James. 87 years old. And he knew John 3:16, word perfect. Memorize. And if you think you can't, start small and ask the Lord to give you some verses and just go over them. It's not too late. Those are the tools that the Lord needs to use. So he's given us scripture. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us the Lord's Supper. And we should be here. He's asked us to be here. It's easy not to get up early enough to come. We need to remember what he's done. It's precious to him. If someone remembers something kind that you've done for them, what does it do for your heart? It's precious, isn't it, if somebody remembers? We need, yes. Good. Yeah. It's precious.
I remember so much as a child.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Any of you journal? You write things down? I still have some journals that I did when we were back in Columbia. And I'll tell you, every now and again I pull them out and read them, because God did some pretty special things back then for us. He still does. But you know, I've kind of forgotten them. And that was so 30 years ago. But what it does is it tells me that God is still the powerful, omnipotent, all-knowing, personal God who cares about the details of our lives. Sometimes we think he's sort of there and we're here and maybe it doesn't matter. As long as we've got food and clothing, maybe he just really doesn't care whether it's a red dress or a purple dress. But you know, if you have children and your kids say, you know they have to have something new, and you ask them what's their choice, your heart of love says, I want to give them what pleases them. Now, I'm not into health and wealth gospel, believe me. God never intended for us to come to him and say, yep, I want a BMW, and I want so much money a year, and I want a house that's bigger than so-and-so's. I'm sorry. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Yeah. But I do believe that he cares about the details of our lives. And I could tell you story after story, and we're totally out of time. So this is my problem. I talk too much. Just one last thing. God never forgets. He never forgets. Hebrews 6, he is not unjust to forget your labor of love. Whatever you do in his name, he remembers. Others forget. He never, ever forgets what you've done for him. Ever. And he has a book of life that he has put our names in. Now, he doesn't need a book, but he has one. And he writes our names in it. We're in it. And he will never forget us. And that's precious. Is there something that he does forget? Our sins. Praise God. That's enough to just make us grateful right there, isn't it? Oh, my. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it says, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. He was talking about Israel at that time, but you know what? We're Abraham's children. Our sins and iniquities he remembers no more. I'm so grateful for that. Sometimes we carry our guilt around with us, don't we? We did something. Oh, we hope nobody ever finds out about it. Sometimes people have. And we just carry this little load of guilt around with us. And so every now and again we say, Lord, I'm just so sorry I did that. And he goes, what are you talking about? It's gone. As far as the east is from the west. So far as he removed our sins from us. Yes.
I love how in Micah it talks about how he buried some of the sea.
Yes.
And then Revelation, it talks about the new heaven and the new earth in
the sea. I love that. Precious, precious love. Well, we have a great God, and he wants us to remember him. Do everything in your power not to forget him. Do everything in your power not to forget what a phenomenal God we have, what a personal God we have, what a loving and kind God we have. Write down the things that he does for you. Go back and look at them over. Thank him again. Don't forget. We need to remember. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we're so grateful that you don't remember our sins, but that you always will remember us and the covenant that you have made with us. We thank you for your power. We thank you, Lord, for your everlasting love. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your provision for us, Father. Help us to not forget, but to be a people who remembers you and what you've done. And we pray that that would bring you glory, that that would bring you pleasure to your heart of hearts, Father, as we thank you and are grateful. We thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your participation, ladies. You're a group that I'd love to take home.